And the Australian food scene, you know what? It's got so much more to offer than coffee and avocado toast. It's an industry teeming with cultural diversity. But are the diverse voices of our food industry being heard? Well, right now we're joined by Lee Tran Lam, who's a food writer and co-founder of Diversity in Food Media Australia. And we're going to discuss her new anthology, New Voices on Food. Lee Tran, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show.
No, it's great. Now, look, it's pretty safe to say we've got a strong foodie culture in Australia, particularly in cities like Sydney and Melbourne. Do you think the way we depict this food culture in the media really reflects the diversity of it?
Yeah, we do have such a multicultural food scene, you're right. But, I mean, I think there's been a lot of reflection, particularly in the last year or so, about how the media in general doesn't always really reflect the community. And I think in food media, there could definitely be some more diversity. So I edit a book called New Voices on Food, of which there are some Sydney Writers Festival events coming up, trying to encourage more diverse voices in the industry, trying to give people a platform. And I think one example about why diversity is important is a writer called Tyree Barnett, who's going to be at the Casula Powerhouse event for New Voices on Food.
Oh, great.
He talks about, so soul food is the food of his African-American ancestors. He's originally from North Carolina. And, you know, that food comes from, you know, enslavement, bondage, this very, you know,
there's much deeper meaning to it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then how he's been quite taken aback, where in Australia, often that food is presented with a lot of shiny marketing, but none of the cultural roots. The fact that it came from, you know, his ancestors taking scraps, taking food that wasn't considered food at all, kind of food that was, you know, supposedly good enough for slaves, and then turning into something like beautiful with history, with, you know, meaning. And that's a food born out of adversity. And for him, it's really important to talk about how it's not just food that is about flavor. There's so much more to it than just flavor. You know, and just something you consume very quickly and move on. So I think that's why it's important to talk about diversity and have those diverse perspectives. And, you know, hear him talk about the surprising kind of like plant-based origins of soul food, how a lot of that, you know, those greens were cooked in like leftover fat. And hear him talk about sitting down with his grandparents and them dunking these gold squares of cornbread into, you know, the juices of these collard greens at the bottom of his plate, and talking about the family connections to this food as well. It's not just, you know, a menu with some PR that has no history at all.
Yeah. And for the anthology New Voices on Food, how did you go about finding the 10 food writing talents?
Yeah, so this happened so quickly. I think I came up with the concept in July, and then in August we just threw it out for submissions, and we just, you know, asked everyone we knew to like spread the word. We approached certain groups like I think Yosoi in Melbourne, who are attached to the Latin community. In Sydney, there's Sweatshop, which is based in Western Sydney, which is aimed at writers of colour.
I was going to say, that's the writers of colour group. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Tyree is actually from Sweatshop as well. So we just put it out there, and I was surprised at how many people ended up contributing something, because the barrier to entry was so easy. It was just email your work. You know, there was no show us your CV or tell us where you've been published. You know, just email something you've done that's new, that's about food. And, you know, as long as you're from an underrepresented community, we'd love to consider it. And quite a few people, one person who's from Adelaide had never published anything before.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and actually she turned in something at last minute, like right on deadline. It's such a beautiful and funny piece about how her mother had two strokes and it made her like a better home cook.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But also went into like her Vietnamese-Australian background, you know, what her parents had to go through to try and, you know, raise kids in Australia, you know, working some pretty tough jobs, and also how her mum, like, just got into YouTube cooking after having these strokes.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, so it sounds like, so the book New Voices on Food is, it's this collection of stories. I was going to say, what can readers expect to find in the pages of the book?
Yeah, so there are those two stories I mentioned. There's a story by Lena, who runs the Lebanese Plate, which you might have seen on Instagram or TikTok or, you know, the actual blog online.
Yep.
And she talks about how she grew up as a za'atar kid, in her words, you know, with family who fled the conflict in Lebanon. And how she always just wanted to be a Weet-Bix kid. She always felt a bit odd for being like a za'atar kid, in her words.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and how she ended up, she spearheaded a campaign called Spread Hummus, Not Hate. She talked a bit about,
awesome,
using food to try and like combat racism and ignorance. But also, you know, her real concerns of like having daughters who are Muslim, having concerns of them, you know, being on public transport and wearing their hijab and like, you know,
the reality of a country
that doesn't have racism problems. So she talks about that also in the context of food. And then we have Arabella Douglas, who is a First Nations woman. She runs a company called Curry Country, which is a traditional owner company. And they're all about cultural experiences that have Indigenous roots. And she talks about how she wants to create a Chinese restaurant of the future, which is kind of infused with 65,000 years of Indigenous history.
Oh,
and, yeah, how
amazing.
She wants to collaborate with someone on how you can create this Chinese menu that brings on Indigenous ingredients. So she's done a few things like that in the past where she worked with a restaurant called Pippet and she gave them emu eggs and they kind of treated like the Chinese century eggs where you preserve it for a long time.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, but she has plans to showcase this idea in a restaurant setting.
That's amazing. Where can people, so New Voices on Food, is it available at the moment or where can people grab it?
Yeah, you can get it from a website called somekindpress.com.
Yep.
There are a few bookstores here and there that sell it, like the Powerhouse Museum gift shop. But Some Kind Press, that, you know, no matter where you live,
you can access it and they'll post it out. And
Yeah. Awesome. And the two people I just talked about, Arabella Douglas and Lena from the Lebanese Plate, along with Tyree, they're going to be at the Casula Powerhouse.
Great.
For the Sydney Writers Festival.
Yeah, excellent. And I'm guessing the Sydney Writers... May 1, they can catch those guys. And I'm guessing you can also get the book at the Sydney Writers Festival, right?
We're trying to get it
there.
There's a lot of like emails back and forth.
It's a work in progress.
Making it happen, so I'm hoping we can. Yeah.
We will link to the site that you mentioned. And so if people come to the 2SER website and look for your story, they'll be able to find the link there to Some Kind Media. So they can grab it there. And Lee, just before I let you go, where's your favourite spot to eat in Sydney right now?
Oh my gosh, it just changes all the time.
Is it like asking what's your favourite child?
Yeah, exactly. I'll just tell you where I went last night.
Oh, perfect.
You know, to make it fair, right?
Yeah, perfect.
My friend told me about a restaurant that I think is one of the few Ligurian restaurants.
Oh, wow.
In Sydney, from an Italian region famous for its pesto. So we wanted to go to this place to have like proper pesto. And they do this beautiful focaccia, which is different to, you know, you might think of focaccia as very fluffy and kind of tall and stack-like.
Yeah.
And they do this very kind of thin focaccia that they fill with melted stracchino cheese, and they do a version that also has pesto on top. So it's that very green, herbal, vegetable kind of freshness to it. And then the stringy cheese. But before I go, can I just mention, we've started this database called Diversity in Food Media, where we're inviting people who are, you know, maybe you are, you know, LGBTQ+, maybe you are disabled, maybe you're culturally and linguistically diverse, maybe you're a First Nations writer on food or food photographer. So we want people to add their name and contact to this so that there's no excuse that people say, well, we don't know anyone.
We don't know where to find anyone
we're
from
just
a
hiring
diverse
the same,
background.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. We're just hiring the same two people because we only know these people.
Okay.
So please add your details. The best way to find it is if you just search Diversity in Food Media on Instagram and then there's a link from there.
Oh, perfect. Okay, Diversity in Food Media. Head
on Instagram.
On Instagram. Yeah. If you are working in the food area and you are from a an unrepresented background, oh my God, absolutely head there. Lee Tran, thank you so much for your time this morning. It sounds such an exciting time, and I'm looking forward to that book because it just, like you said, I think it's going to show that there's just so much more to the Australian food landscape than we've kind of previously known.
Thank you so much for your support, and thank you for your interest.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.